recording, so thank you for sitting down with us today.
Sure.
My name's Nate. This is Jocelyn. She'll be taking notes and stuff. Can you start with getting your name?
Yeah, Jim Brazel.
Jim Brazel. Could you spell that last name for us,
please? B-R-A-S-I-L-E.
Okay. And how old are you? What's your date of birth, if you're comfortable sharing that?
Yeah, it was September 11th, 1950, so I'm 71.
Okay. And where are you from? Where do you grow up? And how long have you been in this area?
All right. I was born and raised in New Britain.
Born and raised, okay.
Yeah. Moved to Farmington for maybe 6 years when my wife and I got married in 1975. And then moved back here 6 years later.
Okay.
Had our two kids here. They went to New Britain High School. My son is the assistant one of the assistant principals over there now.
Oh, wow.
And he's got three kids, and my daughter has two kids, so we have five grandkids.
Nice. So how did you find out about our Heritage Festival today?
Our group, Veterans for Peace, did a presentation at the New Britain Public Library on a book called Un-American, and it was about a veteran's experience in Afghanistan and how it was it's un-American to go to war at this point in our human development.
Okay.
So we did a presentation and Juan showed up, and actually I saw him at a church, St. Mary's, because he's done interviews over there at St. Mary's Church in New Britain. So he got up and said something. I introduced myself and I told him about the presentation at the library, and that he showed up, and that's how we developed the relationship.
Awesome. So what does heritage mean to you?
I guess the roots, from what I've, what I personally, my heritage is, my birth and development along those lines up until the time I'm right now.
Okay.
In my 70s.
What is your cultural identity?
Okay.
How strongly do you feel connected to it?
That's a long story, but I'm basically, my dad was born in Italy.
Okay.
So both his parents are Italian. He only lived there 6 months because at the time, in 1914, he was born. The Italians went back and forth looking for jobs. They were kind of the ethnic group on the lower level of the socioeconomic ladder.
Right.
So they did, he did finally... my grandmother, my grandfather, had the kids grow up in New Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom has a heritage of Northern European, Belgium, Spanish, German, and French.
Okay.
So the two of them got married, had me and my brother and sister. I grew up, my dad, of course, being Italian, we went to the Italian church in town. I was baptized in that church. My mom learned Italian cooking, and so my ethnic identity is more Italian from New Britain than it would be anything else.
Okay. Let's see. Here we go. If you're a veteran, are there any stories you'd like to share about your time before, during, or after your service? Anything, whatever you're comfortable with.
What I tell everyone is I was at New Britain High School. I signed up for the Marines at 17.
Okay.
I went to Parris Island, South Carolina, at 18. They told me to go to Vietnam at 19. And I was home before I was 20. So I'm not quite 2 years that I spend in the military.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one part of a quick part of my life. But as I got older, I add to that because of what happened in our country and the Iraq war, I always say at 50, I woke up. So since then, 50 to 71, 21 years, I've been working toward a nonviolent approach to the world community.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Veterans for Peace has given me, that identity now, as I'm trying to incorporate that into my life and talk to young people, educators, on promoting a nonviolent approach to the world, more diplomacy rather than war.
Right.
And it's a little depressing now with Ukraine, Russia, because that's the attitude they had in 1914. It's dig trenches, let's bomb each other, and that's not going to work with climate change, other issues that you young guys are going to be facing.
Mm-hmm.
And so the only other thing I want to add, personally, I was at Chu Lai, Vietnam. That was a Marine Corps air base.
Okay.
And I always educate people in the fact that over 58,000 people were Americans were killed in Vietnam. They had the Vietnam War down in Washington, D.C. And I always ask some of the kids, I say, do you know how many Southeast Asians were killed during that time? Do you?
There's a couple million.
3.5 million Southeast Asians. And actually, the reason I brought up Chu Lai, Vietnam is because only one woman was killed by enemy fire, and that was in Chu Lai when I was there.
Oh, wow.
Sharon Lane, Lieutenant Sharon Lane. So,
what? Can I ask what your MOS was?
Yeah, it was supply man.
Supply? Okay.
Yeah, even though Marines are always taught.
Rifleman first, right?
Yeah, rifleman first. And we had mortars and a rocket fire, and she got killed by a rocket.
There's no real front line there, just like.
Yeah.
I got you.
No, and I have one picture.
And I think from there we'll actually transition into, you brought some artifacts for us.
Yeah.
So.
Is that what you want to do?
Yeah.
Well, so, while we're just talking about the war experience.
Yeah. So these are some pictures. Looks like you got pictures from when you were a child, too. So whatever you want to show us and talk about.
It's you're the interviewer. So this is back in Chu Lai, Vietnam, with a mountain in the background, desert, and an airstrip. We were supply, so we got supplies to supply the Phantom jets at the time to bomb the Vietnamese and support our troops.
Yep.
This happens to be my friend Greg Kowalczyk, who grew up in New Britain also. He was my best friend. And
did you enlist together?
No.
Okay.
No, he enlisted in the Army. He was a Ranger. He was in a lot more action than I was. And on Christmas Day in 1970, he showed up in the what they called the hooch in those days. And walked in the door. He kind of found out where I was. So
cool.
That's that picture. And this is kind of the hooches we lived in, and some pictures of me where we bunkered. The rats we had to kill to keep it kind of. And that's some better pictures.
Would you mind if we took some pictures of these?
No, you can take pictures of that.
Yeah. And you want to interrupt?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
I mean, I have more stuff, but I didn't bring it.
Yeah.
I think this is upside down.
You can always flip it.
I think I'd like to ask, when you were taking these pictures in Vietnam, were you thinking that one day this would be for posterity, or was it you just wanted to document your experience right now?
Mom and Dad, what was going on.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, because they were kind of, I would imagine, apprehensive at the time, and
I
just wanted to show them that it was basically, you know, I was lucky that I was not in that mountain in the background, because one of our members who lives in New Britain, I tried to get him to go here. As a matter of fact, I'll ask Professor Coronado, I do have a list of people that could not make it that are willing to get on a phone or meet at another time.
Really?
And be interviewed.
Yes. Awesome. So. Is there anything else you'd like to add today, or?
Thank you, Dale. No, I'll just show you the pictures I bought.
Yeah.
This is, you know, New Britain in 1950. Actually, this is, we used to get down at Rocky Hill, we used to have a little, they called them gilt keys. You just hooked them up to the back of a car, mm-hmm. drove them down to the shore. Rocky Neck is where we set up. There were no big condos and brick and mortar places in those days, so you had a tent. That's me with my baseball bat. Baseball was the thing in those
yep.
days. My mom.
Okay.
I must have been about 2 and a half.
One thing I actually probably should ask this earlier. When you got back from, when you got out of the Marines, what did you do for work in the area? Oh. Did you work in one of the factories? I know we're kind of losing that stuff around here at the time.
Oh, well, New Britain was known as the hardware city of the world when I was growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And it basically was that way because of the baby boom generation after World War II, so 1950, 1960, 1970, there were factories throughout New Britain. Everyone worked in the factory. Before they had the highway come through, people would walk out of their 2 and 3 family homes and walk into the factories
oh, wow.
and work all day. So, and the question again was?
What did you do after returning?
Right. So, when I got back home, the first job I had was at Fafner Ball Bearing. It was on Myrtle Street. My brother got me the job. I was an inspector. After that, I decided to get an associate's degree in electrical engineering. So, I went to Hartford State Tech, got a 2-year degree
okay.
in electrical engineering, worked for about 10 years as a technician at Hartford Hospital and Coral Metrics Medical Systems.
Did you use your GI Bill to go to school?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, I did have that ability. Actually, just to remind me, I'll tell you a story about my wife after this.
Yeah.
So I got interested in, I've always interested in baseball, so I got into coaching the police athletic league in town.
Okay.
I ended up running the league for the guy. Then I said, well, gee, I'm interested in kids. Why don't I go back to school? So I came to Central and
oh.
I got my teaching degree, as my wife did in those days. And I taught for 25 years
oh,
off
wow.
and on in the Hartford Archdiocese area. And then retired. I did some real estate. And now I help my wife take care of the 5 grandkids. Now, my wife went here. She graduated from high school 69, so graduated from here 73. She walked from Oneida Street, which is probably down the street, probably 3/4 of a mile away. It was a $90 a year tuition.
Wow.
Or no, $90 a semester. And because she made the honor roll, they gave her that back.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, and her father would get upset because he had to pay a $50 for all the books that she had to buy.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with us
okay.
today. If
yeah.
there's anything else you think of and you'd like to add, you know, we're here.
Well,
if there's anything you'd like to close with.
No, just that this, like I said at the beginning, is an opportunity to open up communications with kids.
Mm-hmm.
Not many kids that I can see, it's either football or basketball. They're very involved in that, which is fine. But I think our country has come to the point, even the world, where we have to communicate a little bit more, which I haven't been. Like I said, I woke up at 50 and realized what was going on. Our country is in some situations here. We need your generation to step up, and Veterans for Peace is here to give you a nonviolent way of doing it. So we would like to maybe present it to the professor, continue this conversation in
yeah.
some way. Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.